Now returning to John chapter 3, very well-known passage. Jesus meeting at night with Nicodemus, if I use the term, the clergyman. Let me ask by way of an introduction. Do you know more than perhaps a previous vicar or pastor or priest? By that I mean, and I'm taking the words from verses 9 and 10 of the passage, where in speaking to Nicodemus, this very senior clergyman, the Lord Jesus asked him a question. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? There are many, even very senior clergymen, who don't know that most basic and essential of experiences that we need to have to be right with God. Multitudes in churches, robes, mitres, titles, pastors, bishops, canon, vicar, pope, pastor, whatever it might be, minister, curate, put them all out. Multitudes who do not know. Here is a senior clergyman, and he doesn't know how to get to heaven. I wonder if you have heard someone in the past, and they have told you what you must do, or told you the teaching of the church, but it doesn't agree with the Bible. It isn't anything like what the Savior said here, and I'm going to look at some of the things as the Lord Jesus explained to this clergyman, the man who ought to have known, as Christ challenges him, art thou a master, a rabbi, a teacher of Israel, and knowest not these things? What are you doing then? Why do you do what you're doing? You might imply from that. And multitudes continue to do the same. With all their knowledge, philosophy, they are ignorant spiritually. They have respect. They have buildings. They have churches, titles, whatever. But they do not know the truth. What's your understanding of the way to get to heaven? Are you sure you know the truth? Is it possible you're wrong because of what you've been brought up to believe? Did you ever take what you've been taught, what you now believe and hope and even trust in, and bring it back to the Bible? And to such teachings as the one before us now? For the Lord Jesus Christ is so plain and direct and clear to this clergyman. He says there is something you must have, or you will never know. You will never see the kingdom of God, that is, understand it as you must to be right with God, or you will never enter it. There is an experience essential and vital to all if you are to see the kingdom. And the Lord Jesus uses that term here, meaning perceive or understand. You will never understand the things of God, particularly with regards to salvation and acceptance by God. You'll never see, you'll never understand, unless you are born again. You will not enter the kingdom except you're born again. So I want just to briefly go down the passage with you. I want you to begin, as it were, unless, of course, what you believe concurs with what Christ teaches. I want you to forget what you've been told in the past. Somebody tell you, because you were baptized as a child, you're going to heaven, you're a member of the body of Christ, you're in the church of Christ, forget it. Throw it to one side just for a moment and look at the teaching of Christ himself. So let's begin. It's Nicodemus, senior clergyman, as it were, bishop, you might term him today, educated in the scriptures. He comes for an interview with Christ. He comes by night and he speaks and he's very respectful. He calls the Lord, verse 2, a rabbi, a master, a teacher. We know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Christ isn't flattered by his respect. He just cuts to the chase. And he says, Nicodemus, in effect, Nicodemus, let's forget all the flannel. Let's just get to the point. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, you're an ignorant man. You're a man who doesn't know. You're a man who hasn't understood, and indeed understood the most basic requirement of being right with God. And except or unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. We are born, they tell us, with five senses. Some insist on six. Let's just stick to the five. Through those senses, you and I relate to this world about us, our material world. Your hearing, your seeing, your taste, your touch, your smell. You relate through your senses to your world, the physical, material realm. Now, what Christ, in effect, is saying to Nicodemus, just as you entered this world and are now a physical entity in reality, you did so through a biological process, and he refers to that in verse 5. When he says, except a man be born of water, some take that to be very convoluted or a detailed instruction or teaching. Refer to Titus 3 verse 5. It's in the margin of your Bible if you have references that this is about the washing of regeneration through the scriptures. I don't think it's as complex as that. I think what Christ is saying, follow the argument, follow the words of Nicodemus. What's Nicodemus said when Christ said to him in verse 3, except you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Christ takes him up on that. He says, no, in effect, you've had a physical, biological birth. Except you're born of water, mother, and every woman, every mother understands the part that waters play as an indication a birth is imminent. I think simply this is what Christ is teaching and what Christ is saying. He says you've had a physical birth. Except a man is born of water. No, you're not going back into your mother's womb. Don't be silly, Nicodemus. Except a man who's born of water and of the Spirit. That's the difference. This is what the Lord's emphasizing. Just as you had a physical birth and you relate to your material world through the senses you were born with and God given, you will only be able to relate to the spiritual realm when you have spiritual senses. When you are born of the Spirit, that's when spiritual life begins. That's when you'll grasp things. That's when you'll understand. That's when you'll begin to grow spiritually. Except the man is born of water, physical birth, and of the Spirit, spiritual birth, he cannot see. He cannot truly perceive the things of God. That's taught throughout Scripture. Man being spiritually dead, he can hear and see and reason things at an intellectual level. But think of the great apostle Paul himself. He says, you know, I once understood, considered Christ naturally. Just as a natural person, but a fallen being, someone without spiritual life. And I looked at Christ and I just saw an imposter. I understood nothing truly about him. I didn't believe what was claimed for him by his disciples and by believers. I rejected that. I used just a mind, my own, rational, my rationale, my reasoning, my thinking, my limited understanding. I needed to be born again. He said, that's what I once did, but not anymore. We, he says, have the mind of Christ. Not a Christ-like mind that knows all things, but similar, we have a spiritual mind, spiritual understanding, spiritual capacity, spiritual faculties. They're alive. And that's through this spiritual new birth. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Have you had the most basic and yet most vital and essential of experiences? Have you been, in Christ's own words, born again? Does someone tell you you're going to heaven because of anything else? Then reject it. Forget it. Put it to one side. Put the words of the Lord Jesus Christ alone. He who could not lie, it is impossible for God to lie. He says to you, he says to me, he says to everybody, except you're born again, you will not grasp, you will not see, you will not grow in understanding of the glories of the world to come, and of Christ himself, and of God. You will be dead spiritually. You will have no spiritual senses. You will never be a regenerate, a quickened individual, one made alive. You will stay dead in trespasses and in sins. Further, you will never enter the kingdom of God. That begins on earth too. If you're born again, you've entered the kingdom of God. Misconceptions about the kingdom immediately are thinking goes right up to heaven and eternity and the world to come. When Christ spoke of the kingdom, he said the kingdom of God is within you. That's where it begins. When you submit to the King, when you're alive spiritually, having sought pardon and forgiveness from the Lord of glory, the anointed Messiah and Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, you enter the kingdom. You're a subject of the King. Yes, you'll go into paradise. You will enter the kingdom, but you must have entered it here before you can go into it there. And except the man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. You stay outside. You're a rebel. You're at war with God, at war with Christ. You're separated. Have you been born again? Think of these just for a moment. Except a man be born again, he cannot see those senses I've referred to. You know, man is like an idol. You know the psalmist, how he, with sanctified sarcasm, speaks of idols. He says they have eyes, but they cannot see. They have ears, but they cannot hear. Here's a description spiritually of all by and from birth. We're like idols, spiritually. We've got these physical organs we can see, we can hear, but spiritually we're like idols. We have eyes, but we cannot see. We have ears, but we cannot hear. We have mouths, but we cannot speak. Not in any real sense. Not in any acceptable sense. Think of what we try to do as unregenerate people. Think of how we respond indeed. Let's take the organ of hearing, the ears. How discordant does the praise of God sound in the ears of many? They only have physical ears. They can only hear with these ears. They have no sense of spiritual hearing. So they do not hear heaven's music. When the scriptures speak, when the word of God is read, what's the response of those that are still dead in trespasses and sins? Well, for many, of course, it's total rejection. They have no time for it. It appears all wasted words, meaningless, irrelevant might be a term that might be used. So you need a spiritual ear. Some people, they tell us, have an ear for music. Some can play by ear. They have a capacity to hear. They can pick it up. They play. Others, unless they have the training, the teaching, the practice and so on, they could never play. And some of us, I suspect, if any like myself, you could have a million years teaching and training, you'd still be all thumbs. You never make music. Well, you see, we have, or had, should have spiritual senses, but we're dead in trespasses and in sins. Oh, they're still there. It's just they need to be made alive. That's what Christ meant. You cannot relate to the spiritual realm until you are made alive. Then you will have all the spiritual senses. Then the words of God come as melodious and as music to the soul, as food for the body. Then your own praises of God from your own lips will be received by God, because at the moment they're just jarring and discordant to him. For except a man be born again, you cannot see the kingdom, understand. You cannot truly worship. You cannot truly praise. You cannot truly hear. You cannot grasp and understand. You cannot taste the things of God with joy. No, the taste of spiritual things for those dead in sin, for those who are not regenerate, not born again. Why, the things of God are bitter. They're rancid. They're sickly sweet. Multitudes rejecting the things of God. This is the reality. Why, you ignorant Nicodemus? Here you are, professor in the uni, doctor of divinity, but you don't have a clue. You haven't the most basic understanding. You haven't even had that experience like a child must have to begin life. Without a birth, there is no growth, there is no understanding, there's no existence. Except a man be born again. You can't see the kingdom. You won't enter it. You're not in it. Now, this is vital and it's essential, isn't it? It's the clear teaching of Christ. Again, clergymen, multitudes of them, are ignorant of these things, just as this one was. Don't believe someone from a time past who told you, because of this ritual, this rite, this experience, this feeling, you're in the kingdom. No. Here's what Christ said. Listen to him. Are you born again? Well, how do I be born again? How does anyone be born again? Well, listen again, the teaching of Christ. What's your view? What's your understanding? I was born again at the font. I was born again at the baptismal tank. I was born again because I experienced this almost vivid dream, and in it met with God, this vision. How are you born again? Well, you see, it's outside of yourself. Notice verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, where it goes, where it chooses, as it were, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that's born of the Spirit. Do you know from where the Spirit comes? When? Has he moved in your heart? That's what must happen. What Christ is saying, this is divine. This is a work of God in the soul. He comes to the soul. He comes to the heart. He makes alive. He works imperceptibly. Oh, but you can know that he is, because then it leads to something. And here is man's part, if you like, man's experience. And that's a little further down the chapter. Look at verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. He said, man looks in faith to Christ. The Holy Spirit moves in your soul. The Holy Spirit reveals to you your sinfulness, your corruption. He reveals to you it is Christ only that can save you. Now what must you do? You must look unto Christ. He himself taught, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. You remember that occasion when the people, because of their sinfulness and rebellion and disobedience, were bitten by the serpents and were sure to die. God said to Moses, now have made a pole and put a serpent upon it, the brazen, the bronze serpent. Put it in the midst of the people. Tell them that whoever goes and looks upon the serpent who exercises faith, who takes me at my word and believes, they will be healed of the poison and the bite. Now, says Christ, there's a picture. That's what you must do, sinner. You must turn and look to Jesus Christ alone. You must look at him, as it were, on the cross. Just as they looked upon the serpent on the pole, look to Christ on the cross. In dying for sinners, in dying as their substitute, in paying the debt, the price for sin, in taking upon himself the judgment, the punishment that our sins merit and deserve. The sinner's substitute. Look away in faith to Christ and then ask him to save you and pardon you. Except a man be born again. Those two things come wonderfully together. The Holy Spirit speaking to your soul, making you aware, making you desire to be forgiven and pardoned. Have you felt that? Are you experiencing that? You beginning to repent and, oh, truly sorry for your sins. Do you desire forgiveness? Do you desire peace with God? Are you conscious in any form of the hideousness of your own sins? Then look unto Christ. Look to Jesus. Come to him. Ask him to save you. What's your great encouragement in this? Well, as he taught, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. What's the encouragement to do it? Verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. These words aren't particularly striking, I suppose, to us now, but to Nicodemus, they were revolutionary. He's a dyed-in-the-wool Jew. He is utterly convinced that the love of God was confined within the borders of Israel. God loves the Jew. God's love is for his people. Says Christ to him, for God so loved the world. Oh, the love of God is extensive. The love of God is wide. The love of God embraces the vilest of sinners, the self-righteous, the mistaken, the deluded, those falsely taught. Put it all to one side and just come to Christ Himself. Look to Him in all His saving glory and His saving power. Nicodemus, you must be born again. Are you born again? Come, ask yourself, answer to yourself, are you born again? Have you been made spiritually alive? Have you spiritual senses? Are you moving in a spiritual realm? Are you absolutely sure your sins have been forgiven? That you're united to Christ? That your hope is only in Him? Not Him plus anything. Not Him and anything else. Just Him. See, every sinner will say this. If Christ does not save me or cannot save me, then I'm finished. For I've no backup. There is nothing else. It's not Him plus anything else. It's just Him. That's where our hopes as true believers lie. All in Christ. Absolutely, totally, completely. We're not expecting to be let down. For He is able to save to the uttermost, says God's word. All that come unto God by Him. Oh, look, you must be born again. Forget your religion. Forget any rituals and rites. Please, just look to Christ and ask Him to save you. Repent of your sin and call upon Him. He's able. If you truly seek Him, you will be saved.